last summer in Montreal, this whole issue of squatting and why wait on a social housing list and why not just take housing, you know, because it is a fundamental human right, mm-hmm. was an issue that came up even in the mainstream media. Granted, there was an election going on last summer, but it came up in the mainstream media. Why did the squat occur in Quebec City this summer? What were the issues on the table?
Well, actually, it was part of a national week of action called by the Frappru, which is the main like reformist tenant union federation in Quebec. And in the beginning, it was supposed to be a three-day occupation and in May. And it was like the last occupation of the whole week. But we have a social democrat city government, and it was city-owned building, and they just like say like, oh, they could stay there for the moment. So we figured out like, why not? And it was basically the place that we choose to occupy was a small two-story building in the core of the neighborhood, and of Saint Jean-Baptiste. And it was, it's a place where there have been struggle going on for like the last 30 years, because it was a place that was supposed to be destroyed in the 70s. And there's six houses there that stand tall, and two of them are empty right now and will be demolished to make room for both social housing and project and condominium. So when we moved in, it was basically activists moving in, and it was supposed to be like a direct action and like, you know, that kind of stuff. But then like after like the first week or something, like, more people moved in, and some people like start staying there. And it was used like for the whole time we were there both as an organizing ground and a place for people to stay, and it was especially useful around July 1st, because in Quebec, like, half the tenants move on July 1st, and this year there was, like, several of them, like, basically didn't find an apartment.
Well, Yvonne, maybe you can take the opportunity to explain what the issues were in Vancouver, where squat has been going on as well, and was also recently shut down.
It's interesting to hear the report from Quebec City, because the circumstances are not that different out here. Some of them are extremely different, but the way that the squat has taken shape and ended up being busted are quite similar. The Woodward's building is not a small building by any design. It's the size of a large city block, and it's been empty for 9 years, almost 10 years. And it's been contentious in the community for that whole time. There's been almost a constant struggle of different intensities for the entire time that it's been empty since the department store went out of business in 93. But the provincial governments, both the NDP and the Liberal government, have promised the building up for social housing on three different occasions, and on all three occasions they've backed out. And every single time there's before the promise came up, there was a situation of people were making a strong demand for it, and people were fighting for the building. And so when they would promise a building for housing, there would be great celebrations in the downtown east side, like cutting up cakes and all these things, right? And then they would just pull it out. They would decide that they try and sell it. And then they promised it last year, and then in March the Liberals cut the funding for social housing, and now they're trying to sell the building. So there were rumors circulating that there was negotiations with a man named Jeffrey Hughes, who owns a number of hotels, like residential hotels, SROs in the downtown east side. And he, as a representative of the Strand Corporation, an American corporation, they were looking to buy the building. And when that happened, there was actually a smallish rally called, and three activists opened up the building. And the rally, we marched to the building. And we got to the building and saw that the building was empty, and there were, in fact, three people inside, and they dropped a ladder down. And the spirit of the community was so strong, and it's such a meaningful building, is that if it's developed into a commercial space, it's really the cornerstone of the downtown east side. And the city's plans for gentrifying the downtown east side, for making it business-friendly, would really be pushed into effect really rapidly by having the Woodward's building developed into business rather than into social housing. Well, people filled the building. And the first couple of nights I stayed there since it opened, and there were probably only 15 people in initially, and the police were kind of holding back. The original organizers had planned to only stay for 7 days, And then that's what's curious about Quebec City, is that the original plan was for it to be only a political occupation. But within, you know, within 5 days, there were 100 people staying inside the squad. We called a rally for the Thursday following the opening of the building, and there, and 200 people showed up to the rally, or 500 people showed up to the rally, and 200 people came into the building. So at one point, there was actually 200 people occupying Woodard's building, which was pretty incredible. And then 100 remained and stayed. And when the eviction actually took place on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, there were 100 people staying there, and 40 of them got out or left before the police came, and the rest of us were arrested.
In my introduction, I was talking about the squat that took place last summer here in Montreal, and the media did pay attention to that, but it was an election season, and the mayor and the opposition candidate were basically using the squat action as a point of contention in their Vote for Me stance. How was the media coverage of the action in Quebec City, Nicholas?
It wasn't as big as in Montreal, actually. We didn't have the same kind of media circus, except for the last week. But there was, like, lots of coverage, but not, like, as big. It was generally positive, like, if you consider that it's, like, mainstream media. And it wasn't, like, there was no, how could I say, like, it wasn't as sensational as the Montreal thing. Like, it was like more normal people, if you want. and so the media coverage was okay, but at the same time, the problem is when you do that kind of action, is that like the city government here have been evading the question, because like they were always saying like, we agree with you, we need more social housing, but that's the provincial government, that's the federal government business. Like, you know, we do what we do, and that's fine. And they didn't, like, answer to the local issues that were into the thing. And it wasn't until mid-August that they finally gave in into, like, our more major local demand, which was a moratorium on the transformation of apartment into condominium, which we won. But it was there, the media coverage was there, but like there was no like political understanding of the issue. They were more interested into knowing, do we have waters and things like that.
Well, Ivan, maybe you can talk about the media coverage out in Vancouver. Were they able to understand this message of the necessity for social housing?
We've had a media circus here, friend. It's beginning to ebb a little bit now. But initially when it started, we had media swirling around us constantly. I don't know how much it leaked out east, but out here it was pretty incredible and overwhelming. And it was a position where I think the media was forced to cover us favorably, because the public opinion is so much with us. And the reason for that is that like, the downtown east side is as far as I know, a pretty unique case in Canada of such a concentration of poverty in one district, really. Like, it's an extremely poor neighborhood, and it's something that, and social housing is a very obvious issue. And to have this, the Woodard's building standing empty in the middle of really the homelessness mecca of the city is really shameful. And I think that's something that's very easily communicated to people throughout the province, and something that people throughout the province really sympathize with. We're starting to see the media angles change a bit now as the police tactics are changing. But we are also in the time of a civic election here now. There's going to be a civic election in November. And because the Liberal government's only been in power for a short time, and there's a pretty strong blowback against them, and they're extremely, extremely right-wing, extremely pro-business, and they've been cutting social services out here on a constant basis, cutting all social programs and rights for workers, and pretty much assaulting all working people and poor people in the province. There's a movement towards trying to have a more social democrat left in civic power here. So they're jumping all over this, right? We're having... The one of the prospective mayors, Larry Campbell, coming out and saying that he supports the squad, and the same thing from the NDP candidates who are in either the couple who are in power, who are in office, or the others who are not in office, saying that they support the squad and coming down and shaking hands and all these kinds of things. We can use some of that to our advantage in trying to keep police at bay, because they had in the two times they've attacked, they've been rather brutal, but they seem to be changing their tactics now into trying to divide the group that is now, like, we're not in the squad anymore, but we have like a tent city set up around the building. And there was last night there were like 90 people sleeping there. So it's a very difficult thing to ignore. And the second raid was when they attacked the people sleeping on the sidewalk and arrested 10 people and assaulted people more ferociously than they did inside, and then threw all of their belongings in the garbage and crushed them. So everything that was outside was destroyed, and it was a black eye for them, and it didn't work. They didn't scare people. People rallied back up and put the tent city back up the next day without any hesitation at all. And so what they're doing now is they're trying to divide people and say that the organizers are crazy radicals, and there's more of them than there are homeless people now, and there's people from outside the neighborhood and all these things, of course. So they're trying to say that they're on side with the homeless people and that they're putting a request for housing to the province, and that it's the only the crazy left radicals that they need to target, because of course they're saying that these radicals are taking advantage of the plight of homeless people for their own political agenda. And the media is starting to push that angle as well, because I think they want to see a resolution to this. They want to see it kind of fade away, and rather than that, they're actually seeing a movement building, which is incredible and something that we need very badly out here.
It sounds like you're also indicating that this is the necessary direction to go if people are to get the social housing that is desperately needed in our urban areas across Canada.
Absolutely. I think there's something tremendous happening right now. I think that it's not a coincidence that these squats were attacked in the same week. I think it's really, they're seeing a squatter movement begin in this country, and a squatter movement is indicative of something that's bigger, right? I think it's indicative of people who are tired of asking for things and begin taking things. And it's almost a step beyond demanding something. It's just taking what you need, right? And I think it's a sign of organization and a sign of people who are willing to stand up against the government when the government is screwing us around. And I think they feel the need to attack it on a countrywide level. And I think that's almost fortunate for us, because it's going to be driving us into a sense of unity that is going to go past the provinces or the cities into a countrywide movement. And I think that's something that we should take advantage of, and they're really pushing us into a position to do so.
I think that the situation's pretty much the same, like, all over the country, with more dramatic extreme in Toronto and Vancouver than, say, in Quebec City. But it's basically the same. Like, it's an housing crisis all over. Right now, there's only in Quebec that you still get some new social housing being done, like since Campbell cut it off in British Columbia. And the problem that we've been facing over the years, like the community groups and community activists, is that like most of our action are targeting like municipal governments and provincial governments. Sometimes when we do have national coordination or province-wide coordination, and we see this summer and last spring, like, there was all those action, like, with no coordination or anything, and just, like, arose out of, like, basically the objective conditions and maybe report that were into, like, alternative media and everything. And what we need now, I think, is to basically, like, target the federal government, because, like, this is where the money is right now. And if we need something, that's something that we're going to have to coordinate and get something, and that will be a great development in the future, because like one of the problems of the Quebec housing movement is that like when we were talking about like Canadian-wide struggle, like it's impossible because like we had no one to talk to in the past, and now with like OCAP, with the people in Ottawa, the people in Vancouver, we may have someone to organize something with, which is good. And we're going to have some opportunity in the next like few months to do something. Like, I think OCAP's launching a call to do something during the spring, and here the Frappe-Rue will have a demonstration in Ottawa on October 29th. So that's like things that we could do like to start to try to get like something off the ground. And I think that's something good, because like we need to. I think that, yes, we need, like, squatter movement and everything, and we also need to build, like, the power industry to, like, get back that money and, like, have, like, self-managed, stable social housing, which is also important.
Something that has given rise continually out here is the idea of building a sustainable squat. In the Woodruff building, that wasn't really possible because it's such a huge building. But what we learned out of this process of this squat is that what's very important is to build a sustainable movement. And I think a squatter movement is not restricted to a squat only, but it's restricted to nothing really. It's a boundless thing that can take on any design of struggle and any design of resistance. And that's something that we're seeing take shape now is a lot of people in the province being unified around what is essentially an anti-poverty struggle, a struggle against the demonization and the attacks on poor people. And we are hopefully going to be coordinating something on October 16th, which is when I think OCAP's planning to do something that day. And we might try and start off with some even if they're just only a couple of groups doing things at the same time, we're going to try and push for that kind of stuff. But we are definitely open to and would look forward to doing work in a coordinated way across the country, because if we're attacking the federal government, that is the most effective way to do so. And if anyone needs to contact the Anti-Poverty Committee or would like to, you can email us at apc@resist.ca, apc@resist.ca. And a phone number here is 604-682-2726, 604-682-2726.
We need to get shit together. And as for contact information, you could email the Comité Populaire at compop at qc.aira.qc.com, and or you could call us at 418-522-0454, which is more of a traditional means of communicating usually.
One more time, slower.
418-522-0454.
I want to thank you both for joining us today on this edition of Off the Hour.